Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Into the 10 a.m. hour here on WEI. I'm Ken Laird. Big Bruins weekend, and we are going to preview that here in just a second from Scott McLaughlin on the Harbor One Hotline. And then Bradfo's going to hop on from Florida. It is also opening week for the Red Sox, so it is coming soon. It is coming fast and furious. Bradfo has hightailed it up to Tropicana Field, where the Red Sox sent nobody today, except Corey Kluber. He'll start. That's about all. But they are getting ready for the opener. Had an interesting night last night, and of course, Celtics to get into as well. But we go to Scotty Mack on the Harbor One Hotline because the Bruins are the team in town. Numero uno, Scott. They are the top story. Well, they should be right about now with, 11 games left? How many games left in the regular season?
11, yep. You got it.
And a measuring stick weekend if they play everybody. If they play everybody. Tampa today and Carolina tomorrow, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, kind of stinks with the schedule where I think today against Tampa you'll get, you know, a pretty honest effort. It should be a good game. Tampa hasn't really been playing their best either. They're kind of locked into the third spot in the Atlantic Division, most likely. But yeah, that game tomorrow against Carolina, like, that should be one of those circle it on the calendar games where you have the top two teams in the East, potential conference final preview. And for the Bruins, it's like, well, you know what? That's also a perfect day to rest guys because it's back to back. It's a one day of travel. They come back home for another home game on Tuesday. So like if you could save someone, you know, a flight, like tomorrow makes all sense in the world if you're going to rest someone like a Bergeron, for instance. So it'll be interesting to see how they approach that. Do they really care about that game? You know, do they want to go down to Carolina and try to prove something? Because that's kind of been a house of horrors for them. Obviously, they, you know, in the playoffs last year, they lost all four road games in Carolina and, you know, lost down there earlier this year in a similar situation. It was the second game of a back-to-back. So, you know, do they want to try to make some sort of statement or do they say, you know what, the schedule stinks, we're going to rest some guys and, we'll see you back home on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I would rest guys. I mean, what's the point?
And
by the way, Carolina is only 2 points up on the Devils, right, in the Met. So no guarantee you're going to face them in the Eastern Finals anyway.
No, definitely not, especially not after they lost Andrei Svechnikov for the season with the torn ACL. That's a huge loss for them, for a team that, you know, plays really well structurally but sometimes lacks some offensive firepower. You know, losing him definitely hurts. And, New Jersey's been playing well. Rangers seem to have finally found their groove after their big trade deadline additions for a little while there. It looked like that things weren't really clicking, but they've come on pretty strong over the last week and a half or so.
Scott McLaughlin is the Bruins reporter on WEI.com and the host of Sunday Skate. Sundays from 10 to 11 with Andrew Razor Raycroft. Those guys will be on tomorrow. And then, of course, the Skate Pod three times weekly on your Odyssey app and your favorite podcasts channel. Now, the question, the Bruins question that will never go away is, what happens in the playoffs with the goaltenders? Will Jim Montgomery rotate the goalies? I am not above it. I think it actually is pretty fascinating. I know it's been asked a million ways, but Montgomery addressed it this week, sort of, right, Scott?
Yeah, he was asked, you know, so for starters, he's asked about continuing it down the stretch. And he basically said, yeah, we don't see any reason to go away from it. It's working for those guys. We have such a compact schedule that, you know, they're still both playing two games a week. And then he was asked a follow-up, you know, would you consider continuing it into the playoffs? And he said, you know, we're not opposed to it, but he doesn't think that they're going to do it, you know. And he went on to say, like, we're going to start with one. He said it would probably be Ullmark, which is obviously no surprise given the season he's had, and then go from there. So he didn't commit to anything beyond game one, really. But it does sound like he's still not totally on board with the idea of a playoff rotation. And obviously, you know, goalie coach Bob Asenza and Don Sweeney are part of that conversation as well. So, you know, I think they would probably prefer Ullmark just takes it and runs with it. But it is fascinating because they're getting the goaltending that they're getting from Ullmark and Swayman is historic. And I've written about this a couple times on WEI.com, but like they are just blowing away the rest of the league in goaltending by like every metric. And it's because both of them are playing so well, like since mid-December. So, you know, we're now talking over a 3 month stretch. They've been two of the three best goalies in the league. The only other one even comparable to them has been Filip Gustavsson out in Minnesota during that time. So, you know, it's like, well, if you have two goalies playing at such a high level, it is definitely at least a fair question to wonder, you know, hey, why wouldn't you just keep that going in the playoffs until, you know, one of those guys gives you a reason not to rotate?
But you know, and I know, if they lose game one against Pittsburgh or Florida, whoever it ends up being in round one, there will be a sizable contingent that is calling for Swayman to start. And will Montgomery acquiesce?
Yeah, and that's the other thing where it gets complicated. Like, you know, I've heard people say, like, oh, it would be really hard, you know, to stick to a rotation after someone wins. Well, the flip side is, you know, if someone loses, it's really easy if you've already made the decision that you're rotating, where, okay, Swayman was going to get the next game anyway. So now Ullmark has a game off, kind of reset, get his game back. You know, it does become, you know, some difficult decisions if, like you said, if Ullmark has a tough game one, has he earned enough? Like, the season he's had, you would think he's clearly earned enough of a leash to get back in there game two. But with Swayman playing so well, does that change it? You know, now do you get into a situation where, what if he has a second tough game? You know, like there are never easy decisions if any goalie struggles in the playoffs. Obviously, the easiest thing is you put one guy in there, he stays hot the whole time, and you never have to even think about taking him out. Yep. But, yeah, with how good Swayman has been, the gap between them is so small that, yeah, trying to decide, you know, how much slippage do you have to see from Ullmark to make a switch is tough. And now that, you know, because then that also creates the situation of Ullmark, does he feel like he has to be perfect? You know, all year long, one thing that Montgomery has been very good at is not putting those kinds of expectations on players, right? That was something we kind of heard, you know, especially with younger guys like a DeBrusk or a Frederick under Bruce Cassidy, was they were afraid to make mistakes. They often felt like they had to be perfect or they were coming out. And Montgomery has really allowed guys to make mistakes and, you know, doesn't immediately punish them or bench them. There have been some benchings. But now, you know, you're going to get into the playoffs, and does Ullmark feel like he has to be perfect? Because that adds even more pressure onto the fact that it's the playoffs and there's naturally going to be a ton of pressure anyways.
All right, and last thing, because I know you're headed down to the rink today. Taylor Hall, do we expect him back? What, any update at all? Do they need him back to win a cup?
Well, he's skating with the team now. He was on the ice for a couple morning skates and a full team practice on Wednesday in a no-contact jersey. So he's getting closer. He, you know, obviously the next step has to be ditching the no-contact jersey, but it looks like he's on track to probably return before the end of the regular season, or, you know, right around the end of the regular season. And, yeah, you know, I don't know if they necessarily need him, but he certainly can't hurt. He's a very good player, and there have been times where I feel like without him, you've maybe – they've struggled a little bit in transition in some of these games, you know, breakout, getting through the neutral zone. They've run into some issues, and he helps with that. Like, his strength, especially with the speed that he can bring down the wing, as long as he's, you know, healthy. Now, if he's only 65%, does he have the same speed? So they're not going to rush him back, but he can definitely help. And, you know, he gives you a ton of options, especially on that third line. You know, it looks like the first and second line probably pretty much set, but, you know, you bring him back, and now it's like you have the option of potentially a Hall, Coyle, Bertuzzi line, which is a lot of firepower for a third line. You know, do you keep Frederick there and bump someone down to the fourth line? Like, it is a bit of an embarrassment of riches. So, you know, they're deep enough that they can win even if Taylor Hall isn't back, but he definitely can help.
Yeah, and maybe because they're so deep, maybe they can rotate him game in, game out, that sort of thing in a series if need be for the knee. All right, Scotty, enjoyed it. Have fun today. We'll be reading at WEI.com and back tomorrow for Sunday Skate at 10.
That's right. Will do. Thanks for having me, Ken.
All right, Scott McLaughlin on the Harbor One Hotline. And now to the Trop, to America's Ballpark, where Rob Bradford, I believe, is standing by. It's the Ken and Bradfo show today.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Let's go.
Wow,
where
listen
are the
to those,
cowbells?
Listen to those acoustics at the Trop.
Tropicana. Where are the cowbells? I mean, this place is electric right now. Let me set the scene for you, Ken. The Tampa Bay Rays are doing drills in the infield in front of absolutely nobody.
That's a good dress rehearsal for the year, I guess.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, I'm kind of anxious to see the spring training crowd. I know that they've been playing up here because I know that everybody in Boston understands that they're not playing in Port Charlotte. They're playing in St. Petersburg. But, you know, that's what it's – the crowd is for spring training crowd, and the Trop, is it going to be that much different?
Now, much to get to with the Red Sox, but just to set my scene here now. Last night, Fourier took me to the Celtics game with his Shots for a Cure American Diabetes Association crew, Billy Lanny from Gresham Fourier fame. We had a big crowd out there, and it was pretty good vibes. I mean, like, Celtics looked like they're back on track. There was one point in the game, Rob, where Jalen drove to the basket. I don't think he got fouled. I don't think he made it. But anyway, missed it. He, like, carried his momentum into the crowd behind the hoop, and he just kept walking, that sort of thing.
Ooh.
And he got the near standing O. It was like a moment of love. It was a moment of love and appreciation from the fans, which I thought, this is what we need right now. You know, this is what we really need. And then I'm on the train riding back, and either you or somebody else, I forget who I read, reporting that Kenley Jansen walks off the mound with heart palpitations.
No,
so,
I did not. No. No one said that. No one.
Well,
said
what was it? I mean, this is not good.
Evidently, he was just like lightheaded, and he was overheated, Ken. He was overheated. But he talked to the media this morning. And he said that he was just overheated. He'd done too much in the sun, which is hard to fathom, I know, for people up there, but I can kind of understand this. But, yeah, it's anytime you do have a guy with any sort of heart issues in the past, you worry a little bit. And as Will Fleming and I were saying on the broadcast when it happened, because we don't know what happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
The closer for the Red Sox gets taken out of the game. He's sweating bullets. He doesn't look good. So we're figuring, oh my goodness, what are you going to do? You don't have a closer now. As we sit here right now, he expects to pitch before they leave for spring training. And, so not all is miserable. And so I guess what I'm saying is Kenley Jansen's Q rating is right there with Jalen Brown.
All right. Except he gave up a 2-run bomb before he got pulled.
Maybe that's what made him sweat. I don't know.
Have been optimistic about this team, but then I heard you on with Greg and you were like, I don't feel good. I don't feel good about it. So
it's a roller coaster. And, you know, in spring training, I've been through enough spring trainings where I really try to check myself. Remember, Ken, like you don't remember. But remember when the Red Sox started spring training undefeated?
Uh-huh.
I mean, oh, my goodness. The vibes were off the charts. And you know, obviously that means nothing, especially that time of spring training. You have to go into the end of spring training playing well. And when I was on with Greg and the guys, it was like, well, they weren't playing well. It didn't feel good. And right now, it feels a little bit better.
Well, they walked it off last night.
I know. I mean, what do you – again, like Tristan Cassis.
How was your call? Do we have the Bradfo call of the final walk-off last night?
I suspect it's me saying, ooh!
All right. Yeah, well, here it is. Joe Braverman will cue that up for you.
Here's the pitch to Cassis. Hammered to right field. Oh. It is way back, and it is gone! Tristan Cassis sends everybody home. with a game-winning two-run homer, and the Red Sox win it 9-8.
Now, see, what they cut off your analysis. I mean, what is that?
I let
from
it breathe.
From Ben Charleston.
I let it breathe. I mean, at some point, I think I said, see it go, because that's my thing now, because we love Sitco.
Yeah,
they sponsor
the
all the home run calls.
Yeah.
But it was a weird game because everyone, they score a couple runs in the eighth to take the lead, and everyone's happy because you just want to go home. You do not want to play a bomb the ninth. You do not want to have a tie game. And
even with the pitch clock.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is the thing about the pitch clock, which everyone is going to come to understand once they start paying attention to the games when the games start, is that you get spoiled really quick. So when a game isn't 2.5 hours, you're like, what is going on? Like, when a game is 3 hours, it feels like 4 hours. Yeah. That's what's weird. And this game was under 3 hours, and you're still sitting there thinking, man, I could have been at Twin Peaks 20 minutes ago.
2:52 time of game, I see.
2:52. But if it wasn't for Kenley giving up that home run, we would have been out of there. And that's how the life is going to be. And that it's great, but you get spoiled really, really quick.
All right, well, excited for a Ken and Bradfoe special here on March 25th.
This is,
and you're going to set the Tropicana Field scene all morning long.
I mean,
boots on the ground.
Listen, there's not only boots on the ground, but it's a huge game, and I know that because celebrities are in the house. So there you go.
Which celebrities?
Well, I told you what celebrities coming on in the broadcast later.
Oh, in the broadcast, yes. Not in our broadcast, but in the game.
No,
broadcast.
No, but he's milling about. I mean, he's in the building.
He's in the building already?
He's making the most of his time in St. Petersburg.
All right. We'll reveal that A-list celebrity at some point this morning, I am sure. Red Sox and Rays at 1 here on the FM. Kluber starts and pretty much nobody else in the lineup, right?
It is unbelievable.
Oh, gee.
I did say
that. Maybe
this.
I shouldn't say that. We want people to listen.
No. This is what I wanted to do. And I just had texted Justin Turpin, our esteemed producer for the broadcast. I think it's a good opportunity for people on Twitter, the Sox booth, to ask us questions that we can answer during the broadcast.
Ooh.
And if those questions are about Narciso Crook DHing, so be it. But I think it's a good opportunity to sort of use this game as a catch-all for a lot of things in spring training.
Well, I want to do that with you next, too, since we got you, since it's opening week. I'm technically done until tomorrow, but I'll call it today. How could it work? How could it fail? I want the Bradfoe answers on the 2023 Red Sox, the positive and the negative outlook, on the way next. But first, Joe Braverman and trending.
The Rich Keefe Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
No sweat for the Celtics last night as they cruised to a 120-95 victory over the Pacers in their first game home from their six-game road trip. Jason Tatum leading the way with 34 points, and with those 34 points, he now has the most 30-point games in Celtics franchise history with 40, passing the great Larry Bird, 27 and 22 points respectively for Jaylen Brown and Derek White. The Seas will be back at it tomorrow night against the Spurs. Tip-off is set for 6 o'clock. The Bruins have won 5 straight games, and they'll look to make it 6 this afternoon as they face the Lightning. The Bees will be without forward A.J. Greer as he's been suspended for 1 game due to his cross-checking during the team's 4-2 victory over Montreal on Thursday. Puck drop from the Garden is set at 1 o'clock. The Red Sox got a 2-run home run from Tristan Casas in the bottom of the ninth to walk off against the Braves 9-7. Sox will return to action this afternoon against the Rays. Will Fleming and Bradfoe have the call from Tropicana Field at 1:05 on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. You can listen to the game in Boston right here on 93.7 FM or via the Odyssey app throughout most of New England. The last remaining number one seeds in the men's college basketball tournament are out as Alabama lost to number 5 San Diego State 71-64, and Houston was beaten by number 5 Miami 89-75. This marks the first time since seeding began in 1979 that all number one seeds have lost before the Elite Eight. Speaking of the Elite Eight, that begins today with number 9 Florida Atlantic and number 3 Kansas State, followed by number 4 UConn and number 3 Gonzaga. We will have Westwood One's coverage of both games beginning at 6 o'clock following Christian Arcan. And the Revolution are back in action tonight against DC United at 7:30. They currently sit second in the MLS standings behind Atlanta United FC. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Hammered to right field. It is way back, and it is gone! Tristan Casas sends everybody home with a game-winning two-run homer, and the Red Sox win it 9-8.
I'm going to do this one early. See it go.
Wow.
There you go. That one. I can't step on. Can't heat. Here we go. Let it breathe. Nice job, Rob.
Thank you.
Excellent job by Bradfo. That's the kind of analysis that should be left in all home run calls here on the Shaw's and Snow Market WEI Red Sox Network.
Well, that's been my trade. I've had a lot of trademarks, but that's been my trademark all spring and all home runs.
So how's your setup? I can barely hear you down there. How's your setup down there?
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Turn yourself up. Crank it up.
Okay. Is that any better?
That's better. What are you looking at? Anybody there yet at the Trop?
Yeah, there's some random Red Sox people lounging around in the dugout. You have Rays players taking batting practice. I mean, this is...
Is there a gleam off the turf? How's the carpet looking?
Oh, my goodness. I always say that the warning track turf here is like Snuffleupagus. Like, it's that... It's
right. Thick shag.
Yeah, a thick shag.
Like a sports bar in Milwaukee.
I get a feeling that at some point in Ken Laird's life, he had a thick shag rug.
I wish I did. Sometime in my future. Maybe my near future.
Maybe I can rip up some of the Tropicana Field warning track and put it in your house.
Be great, little man.
The weird thing is that I've been at this park, and everyone craps in this park and whatever. But I've been here where it's been absolutely electric. And obviously that was during the playoffs, the 2008 playoffs, other times.
The David Price playoffs?
Oh, my God. It was, yeah, that's when the cowbells and the security guards had tasers. It was electric. It was like.
Were they using the tasers?
Oh, this is one of my favorite stories. So I don't know if you remember this. The taser thing first, like, reared its head when I think it was in Philadelphia, a security guard tased a guy running on the field. And then all of a sudden, we realized all these security guards had tasers. But here in Tropicana Field, it was like the Wild West. Nobody should have given these people tasers. I mean, the Red Sox bullpen, which is right next to the stands, those relievers said they were looking back and guys were getting tased all over the place. And then the preeminent time was in the middle of a game, a guy was pinned against the dugout. His head was pinned against the dugout with a security guard pointing the taser at his head.
Wow.
And everyone from the dugout came out to see what was going on. I don't think that's like a wise move. I don't think that's what security guards at ballparks should be doing. But this is why I love this place, because
those
you never
were the
know
days when
happen.
The Rays-Red Sox rivalry was peaking. Oh. You know, we thought it was destined for big things.
Yeah, well, I mean, it has been. I mean, for the most part, everyone wants to sort of square peg round hole with the Yankees and Red Sox. But if you go back for the last, let's say, 17 years, it's been the Red Sox Rays.
That's
There's
true.
Been they more did. Memorable moments.
They did.
Starting, by the
21
way,
playoffs.
Starting, by the way, with the Coco Crisp Matrix move, charging the mound on James Shields. You know, so. Yeah, there's been more momentous moments with the Rays-Red Sox than the Yankees-Red Sox.
Kenneth Bradfo here on WEI, Bradfo at the Trop.
want to get into Red Sox, how it could work or how it could be disastrous here in a moment. Just a quick bit of news. Severino could be missing the start of the season for the Yankees. So as much bad news as there is for the Red Sox, and maybe they dodged the bullet with Kenley Jansen last night, lat strain, Yankees rotation takes another hit. I see Bob Nightingale.
Takes another hit?
Clark Schmidt, now their game two starter. So it's not only the Red Sox who are having some setbacks here.
Yeah, but Rodon, I mean, Rodon had a little bit of setback, right?
I guess so.
Yeah, you have Gerrit Cole still, you know, whatever. The Yankees are still a really talented team. And that's the most striking thing, and I know we're going to get into it. But, yeah, you know, the Red Sox have pieces. There's no question about it. But even if you come to the Rays have more stars than the Red Sox, right? They do. Arozarena, Franco, the pitchers, McClanahan,
Glasnow. Yeah.
Glasnow.
Well, Franco might be the best player in the division. I mean, either he or Vlad, right? Well, Judge. I don't know. They're all good, but and Devers. Yeah, but Franco is really good. I'd say he's their one superstar.
The one superstar?
Yeah, I guess people don't know McClanahan, though. He's really good, but I don't think everybody knows him. He's not a household name.
Okay, well, Arozarena, I mean, he's sort of put himself on the radar, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's a clutch postseason player, but he's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, well, okay. Well,
I'll take Yoshida over Arozarena anyway.
Oh, the first Ken Laird.
There we go.
Kerosene Ken makes his first appearance. There you go.
Better left fielder, Arozarena or Yoshida. Call
right now. I know that you have dissected Yoshida's game. Going back to for months upon months and then culminating in the WBC. And I know that you soaked in what he did last night. Like what
over
what
an two at with bat, walk.
What an at bat, the walk. So
yeah, but I mean, come on now. There's legit buzz about this guy. Okay, let's start here. How it could work. Yoshida, the buzz for Yoshida, people are comparing. He's hitting cleanup in the Ohtani lineup. That is something. He had 13 RBI in 7 games in the WBC, a tournament that people actually watched beyond belief. I mean, even up here, people were watching it, Rob.
Do you buy my, before we get into the Red Sox, do you buy my take? It's a Kerosene Ken take, but I truly believe it, unlike some of your takes. Do you believe my take off of the WBC, that game, Team USA versus Japan, that was one of the most impactful games that we've seen?
Oh, I saw somebody tweet your quote from one of your podcasts.
Oh, that was Sean Spradling. Yeah, yeah, WBC guy.
Give it to me here unedited. Give me the statement.
Well, my thing is that it wasn't the best game ever. You can't say best game ever, especially since it didn't really matter in terms of the exhibition or standings or a long season. But I would make the argument it's one of the most impactful games, and the reason is because the state of baseball, you needed something like that. You needed this tournament. You needed this game. You needed that moment of Ohtani versus Trout. You needed all of that. And it was, and because you have those moments. You have these moments where everyone gets excited about baseball, let's say in a Game 7 in a World Series. But what happens, Ken? You have that. You have a parade. Then football takes over. The difference here is that this is the ultimate hype video for a baseball season, something that the Major League Baseball, they can do all the social media they want. They can have all the campaigns they want. They can do whatever, MLB The Show with Jazz Chisholm, whatever. But they can't they could not possibly have anything more impactful for their game, for what this game needs right now, which is the image of excitement, of anticipation, of fun, all of it, than what they had in that last WBC, and the WBC as a whole heading into 2023.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Even the Final Four, the Trey Turner Grand Slam to beat Venezuela, you had buzz going into the final game, which got people to watch the final game. So it's a perfect storm. I would agree with that. Plus the rule changes, although the rule changes are, I mean, we're almost the opening day. There is going to be some chaos when it starts again, right? Like there was the first couple weeks of spring training adjustment, but don't you think now that we actually will get to the season, I'm not sure it's going to be entirely smooth.
One of the things that I think that, you know, even in spring training, it's been an evolution, right? Or we're figuring things out. You see all the time and we saw it last night with Pivetta, where Pivetta gives the umpire a stink eye about something, and then they confer after the inning to figure out what exactly what the rule is in terms of how much time you get. If I think in this case, Reese McGuire, he made the last out. So how much time does he get to come back out? They only gave Pivetta one pitch, one warm-up pitch after Reese McGuire finally got behind the plate. So all of that, you don't know how this is going to work, and it's a work in progress, and they've made a lot of progress in spring training. But, Ken, the one thing that I think that they just simply cannot get their head around until the season starts is what happens in innings 7 through 9 of an important Major League Baseball game. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going through all of this stuff and having balls called on guys and strikes calls on guys and penalties enforced, but it's in a spring training game.
Yeah.
What's going to happen when you have 7, 8, 9 innings when this matters the most? And forget about even like the umpires making these calls, just guys being rushed. I mean, we saw it with Kenley Jansen is the closer of the Red Sox, okay? We understand that one of the things that he comes with is that he was the slowest pitcher in the game last year. He has spent all spring training trying to figure this out. And so he's done a good job. But at the same time...
Wait a minute. Has he done a good job?
No, he has done a good job.
Because last night, I mean, maybe he was sick or whatever was happening, but he looked like disheveled before he left the mound. He was just rattled.
So here's my take on it. Like, we see these guys, because of spring training, of where we sit and everything else, and where we wait to do podcasts, we see these guys working out all the time. Like, nobody has been working out more than Ken. I see him pulling sleds and doing, like, even yesterday, I didn't even know he was pitching. I'm like, why? Then I'm thinking, why was he working out so hard? So he's going into this. He understands that he has to be in better condition than ever before. You know why? Because he doesn't have that time to take the breath. Well, if he backs up third, he has to get back to the mound, lower his heart rate and everything else. He understands that this is part of the deal.
But not to make a joke about it, but he has an AFib condition, right? So that is not good. In a year, of all years, you sign the closer that's got a heart rate issue at times, not saying it's like constant. And he's got to worry about his heart rate late in games because of the pitch
clock. This is all part of the adjustment that we saw. So to set the scene of what happened last night was these guys in the bullpen, they have to basically, a lot of times they'll get in whatever, 7 pitches and they'll come in and they'll throw at least 8 in the warm-up. But and they can walk in, take their time, no problem. Now that's not the case. So with Kenley, what happened was he clearly threw a bunch of pitches in the bullpen. Then he's coming in the game, and he's walking. And I'm telling Will, I'm saying, he's going to run out of time. Like, he's walking to the mound. And so by the time he gets on the pitching rubber, there were 58 seconds left until the 30 seconds when the catcher has to throw the ball down. So in that 58 seconds, he got in 3 pitches because he threw out the ball one time. He wanted another ball. He got in 3 warm-up pitches. And you can say you prepared for it and everything else, but you can't tell me that's normal.
What about the bullpen cart? Can we bring that back?
Exactly. Let's go. I mean, you're half kidding, but you got to do something. You have, and these bullpens are all in different places. You have Philadelphia where you have to walk downstairs. But to come back to the original point, which is there is a lot that's going to – in April we're going to see a lot of things where this is going to get uncomfortable. It's going to be great because we're going to be home quicker. And the game's going to move faster, and all the things that we've said, and I'll say it again. I think that the WBC was the perfect thing to have leading to a season, and now you have the season, and people, I think, are going to enjoy this. But we are going to have plenty to talk about when it comes to the chaos of these new rules.
Okay, well, let's start on the negative side, how this could be a disaster, because I think you're making me nervous on a couple points. Number one, I'm nervous about Kenley Jansen, health-wise, even though they said it was just dizziness. Chris Martin is supposed to be the setup guy. He got rocked yesterday, right?
Yes.
Blew a save. Then you have Pivetta, who we heard at Winter Weekend doesn't like the rule changes anyway. I know he's just your fifth starter or whatever, but doesn't sound like he's adjusting very well to the new rules. At least he's angry about it. And then, you know, if Martin and Jansen stink, that's one of the big storylines going into the year that you were supposed to correct the bullpen. If those guys are no good, do they have options B, C, and D?
Am I supposed to do like how this can work? Or
no,
how this
let's
can,
start that. Let's start.
Oh, we're doing
negative.
Reverse.
How this is going to be a disaster.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. So the one takeaway for this team is that what a razor thin margin they have. And I think that like you just point paying that pitcher. You invested, the one thing that they invested in besides Yoshida is the bullpen. You paid money for Kenley Jansen. You paid money for Chris Martins. There's your eighth and ninth guy. There you go. Well, if they don't work out.
Plus Rodriguez, who's hurt for a while.
Well,
right?
Yeah, and Joely Rodriguez, who they were also counting on, and he's hurt, and you know it's going to be a while because the obliques stink. So
I mean, obliques stink. Put on a
2023 Red Sox, obliques stink. So you have this bullpen where you have a lot of uncertainty heading into it right now. You just do. And Schreiber has been okay. He's been a little bit better lately. He wasn't good up until recently. Brazier hasn't been that good. You know, they need Tanner Houck in the bullpen, but he has to be in the starting rotation. Yeah, it's of all the things right now, we look at this team that is the most concerning is undeniably the bullpen.
All right, 617-779-7937. Do you want to hear from a caller who has a fib?
Oh, well, I mean, listen, when I woke up this morning, that's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Okay, Neil in the Haunt, is AFib a big deal? Is Kenley Jansen doomed?
Yeah, Kenny, I'm 82, and I had an ablation last April.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I'm back to, I ride 6,000 miles a year, you know that. And I was in Florida for 5 weeks, did like 800 miles. So what are they waiting for? It's about a week and a half recovery. No big deal.
Oh, okay.
It's
well, good.
What he said, you know. How old is this guy?
How old is Kenley Jansen, Rob?
I believe he's 81.
Okay. Hang in there, Neil. We're going to see you at the road show. I know that. See? Nothing to worry about. Quick recovery from AFib.
I mean, does Neil run in from the bullpen? Does he do more than three warm-up pitches?
We're going to get him a bullpen card for the
He did say when I took his call, he bikes a lot.
Yes, that became very, very clear. Next up is Dread King Fred in Maryland. I want him to weigh in.
All right, now, but the other thing is just injuries. Like Whitlock's a week behind, Bayo's 2 weeks behind.
By the way, excellent on the radio last night.
Oh, yeah, you had Whitlock in the booth.
Yeah, and a lot of buzz about comparing the interviews between the radio and the TV last night.
Oh, really? Was he ripping on Dave O'Brien?
No. I'm just saying. I think that's we're not talking about the negative. We're talking about the positive. It was an excellent radio interview.
But, I mean, really, you kind of – I get a sense from you, and you've said this, so it's not even like I have to read into it. You think this is going to be a tough year, or you're nervous. This does not look good.
Well, I think they have to get off to a good start. That's the
Shaughnessy column. No, Red Sox cannot afford a bad start.
But it's – and, you know, we were talking before, and it's a good conversation. I think, you know, a month from now, who are we going to be talking about? And, listen, I mean, we're still going to be talking about the Celtics and the Bruins because you're talking about playoff stuff. But there's very real examples of the importance of a good start. You have 2013. Obviously, a lot of people compared that team with this team. They got off to a good start. And then 2018, same deal. I mean, you went on this momentous, historic run out of the gate. And I'm not saying you have to do that, but you got a soft schedule early on, and then May is absolutely brutal. So you got to get off to a good start.
Orioles and Buccos. You can't beat the Orioles and if you don't go 4-2 out of the game. And Detroit.
Are you throwing out the first pitch for the Pittsburgh game?
I am. I'm thinking 7-2. You got Detroit on the road. That is an easy 9.
Yeah, well, you would think so.
There we go. Those are save that for next. That is how it could work.
Okay.
Ken and Bradfoe at Tropicana Field here on your Saturday, 25th of March. Also, Andy Hart going to join us in the noon hour today, and Rob is on the call with Will for the big game at 1 o'clock today. Then Arcand after the game, and then we'll lead you into where are we now? Elite Eight. Number one seeds are all out. Elite Eight tonight.
All I know is Princeton's out. It's Princeton's out.
Did they lose last night? They were hanging in there. Creighton
yes,
beat them.
They lost to Creighton.
Yeah, they lost.
All right. Well, good bracket talk, I'm sure, later in the show.
Oh, listen. But, driving up to St. Petersburg, I listened to Nick Costos the whole way. Let's go.
Yeah, he's fired up from Vegas, and he will be on AM 850 all day. But for here, it's Ken and Bradfoe. We'll be back right after this.
3-2 from Ohtani. He throws. Trout strikes out swinging. Ohtani and Japan celebrate a World Baseball Classic championship.
There's nothing you can do that can't be done. That right there, the World Baseball Classic Final Call, one of the most important games ever played in baseball from our man Rob Bradford.
Well, am I, you never answered, do you agree with me or no?
One of the most important games ever played.
No. One of the most impactful games.
You got a lot of baseball. You got 130 years of baseball or something here.
Yeah, but see, you have to put it in context. I'm not saying the most impactful. In terms of everything that I laid out for you, you're heading into a season at a time where baseball is at sort of this fork in the road of trying to draw in fans, the basketball fans, the football fans, and they're getting there. You just wouldn't find anything more impactful to heading into a season. Like I said, game, you have those moments in the World Series, but then you turn the page immediately to football. That's it.
Yeah. No, I mean, the way you phrase it is a strong argument. I'll give you.
Top 10 for me.
Top 50. Let's go top 50. We go deep. I got a couple Steve Pierce moments in my top 40.
Oh, my goodness.
But no, they've had a perfect spring. You couldn't ask for baseball to have a better spring to lead into the campaign. Now, back over. Oh, by the way, I just reading on Carlos Rodon's out for a month.
Yeah, yes, he's out for a month.
So they're losing Severino for we'll see how long with the oblique, and Rodon, who signed this big deal the same night it was announced that Yoshida signed, right? Didn't the Yankees swoop in with him on the same night?
That was the Scott Boras heading to the airport talking about the Rodon deal, yep. Yes.
So I don't know, were the Red Sox in on him? But, I mean, they got a...
No, not really.
6-162, full no-trade clause. He's going to miss the first month of the year.
Yeah, well...
That's good vibes. There's good vibes for you.
Injuries to other players.
Yeah, Schadenfreude to the Yankees.
2023 Red Sox, hey, the other guys might get hurt.
Okay, paint the optimistic picture.
Okay, let's
do it. Give me Red Sox 90 wins. How do they get there?
Okay, so first off, you have this starting rotation of maybes, right? But at least you have potential of being good. So all these guys, Sale, Kluber, Bayo, Whitlock, Alt, Pivetta, all of them, they live up to sort of their best selves, right? Which could happen. I mean, absolutely. This is one of the optimistic things I think of this camp, other than James Paxton getting hurt. I think that they've been pretty good across the board. That's been encouraging.
You take 4 out of 5 or 3. You might take 3 out of 5.
And I think Bayo, watching him down here, like, it's different, man. It's different. So I just want to see him sort of hold up. He's not a big guy. He had the arm thing early in camp, so we'll see. So that's number one. Number two is that you have this lineup which doesn't, other than Devers, doesn't have the quote-unquote star. But if you look at the lineup they rolled out last night, which could be the opening day lineup, you know, you have decent hitters across the board. You don't have automatic outs anywhere.
Your top six last night, Verdugo, Devers, Turner, Yoshida, Duvall, and Casas. Pretty good. That's pretty good top six.
Yeah, I mean, and I tell you who I think has been the best player down here is Christian Arroyo. Christian Arroyo's been really, really good defensively, offensively. So I think that they say offensively they're optimistic, but the problem is that, you know, you're just so thin after that. You can't really afford to have a couple of those guys not perform. So, but let's stay optimistic and say...
They project for pretty good offensive numbers, right? I mean, if you just crunch the numbers, they'll be a top five AL offense.
Yeah, I think that they've sort of embraced the way the baseball's going, which is you're going to make more contact, it's less of all or nothing, so forth and so on. So, yeah, so I can see that happening. Now, we get to the bullpen, and this is the problem, right? But best case scenario, it's easy. You get what you pay for, right? You get a good Kenley Jansen. You get a good Chris Martin. You're able to put Tanner Houck out there. John Schreiber is what he was last year. And there, you're on your way. And if all of that works, that'll work fine. That's great.
And but you play the division less. We know the division's tough. There's no getting around that.
Yeah, there's no getting around it. But, you know, I think that, you know, we say all of this, and it's when I say it, it's not out of the realm of possibility. This isn't like, well, I hope Will Cordero plays a really good second base. Like, that was never going to happen, right?
Well, you said May 1st. I really think they have until the mid-June. Because if the Bruins go on a long run, they'll be playing in mid-June, maybe the Celtics as well. And if they're 500, even a little under in mid-June, they're hanging around. People will tune in.
Well, here's the thing. So I always would go back to 2013 when it comes to the attention of a team like this. You go back to that, where they got off to a good start, And everybody, it's revisionist history to suggest that everyone embraced them early on. They didn't. And there was a very real reason why. It was the Bruins Stanley Cup run. Remember that, Will. I mean, remember that, Ken.
Mm-hmm. No,
I mean, how could you forget? You were basically doing play-by-play for the Bruins.
Yeah, it was Chicago, right?
Yeah, Chicago that year. So the Bruins had the Stanley Cup run. Everyone was knee-deep in. And then as soon as that ended, you had Aaron Hernandez. Aaron Hernandez right. dominated the news. And in case people think, oh, well, what are you talking about? There's a murder trial. No, I mean, that was all anybody talked about. All you know, forever.
And Andy Hart just put out a new mock draft for the Patriots, so it's similar vibes.
And the Celtics were going through their transition.
When I was driving up to Bradenton, I learned more about the draft from Fitzy and Fourier through their mock draft. I mean, I could basically draft for the Patriots right now.
I got a good Fourier story from last night, but we'll save that for next hour.
Good.
We'll tease that ahead. Big league
good,
tease.
I got a good Twin Peaks story from last night. So,
great.
By the way, Ken, this is like basically me and you talking right now.
Mm-hmm.
They offered us to sit at the picnic tables at Twin Peaks, and I just said no.
Good for you.
I'll wait another hour.
Disastrous.
Not ever happened.
I think they put tourists there. They must spot it.
They saw it.
Now, Orpi gets a break, but so you paint a decent picture that I think is somewhat reasonable. I the bullpen shaky here of late does not instill a lot of confidence. However, they're going to launch on Thursday. We know the Celtics and Bruins are headed for the postseason. I want to ask you about managers because we've been talking about Mazzulla a lot, and Cora kind of gets caught up in this too, like how important he is for the team. This is a little bit of a cliche sports topic just how much impact does a manager make. But we're seeing it with Montgomery, Mazzulla, and Cora. Mm. There's a tie-in here, which I want to get to the bottom of next on a sports radio segment. Can we do that? For once and for all, importance of a manager and a coach.
Right now, I'm looking down the Tropicana Field, and I see Marcelo Meyer playing catch. What's better?
Well, it's certainly better than the way Mazzulla treated the fourth quarter last night because it was odd. He does odd things, and that worries me. So I want to get your I know and you're a basketball coach of some repute up in the Ipswich area.
The Ipswich area.
Right? Correct? Am I wrong?
Yeah. I mean, here's the key. You run isolations.
Okay. Well, I will give you the critique last night in a blowout win for the Celtics, and I think, Joe, we had some interesting Jaylen Brown comments after the win last night. They looked good. It was a blowout win, but he did speak again on his situation, the drama that he's had this week. So we'll play some of those clips for you next. It's Kenneth Bradford on EEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.